Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week, joining me is Dalton Manch.
Yo.
Stephanie White.
Hi.
And at the end of the table, making his first appearance on Nerd Up in many weeks, Shannon Young.
You saved me for last. I'm honored.
Yeah. You're a special guest.
And I want to, once again, I want to say thank you guys, because Stephanie, you weren't there last for the 200th episode. How appreciative I am that we all do this. I really am. I don't think I put it over enough on the show just how much it means to me that you guys like coming in doing this, and we all do it together, and it's a community thing. Just thank you so much.
Yeah.
That's all I got. I just want to say thank you.
Yeah, for those of you that, I guess, exclusively listen to Nerd Up or don't pay attention to what's happening on Podbean, we recently celebrated our 200th episode on the Podzilla 1985 network.
And you would have been 202.
Would have been. Sports show got canceled yesterday. That we were just praising as being consistent.
Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, we're back. We're going to start doing these sports shows. I actually offered to be on it, too. I was like, yeah, if you need somebody for this week's, I'll do it. And then it didn't happen.
Yeah, hear that, Cody? I also wanted to be on it because I wanted to talk about Ronda Rousey and Holly Holm. I wanted to talk about Manny Pacquiao and his anti-gay comments. I want to talk about how Dave Bautista, star of Guardians of the Galaxy, said he would shove his foot down Manny Pacquiao's throat for those anti-gay comments if he ever saw him in person. I had things to talk about.
And the funny thing, I told him that I didn't particularly want to be on it because I wanted to sleep in, and he canceled the show.
That's the kind of power Jesse Kimball wields.
you're not wrong.
See, on a related note, I was worried. I was like, oh, I'm 10 minutes late to showing up to record today. And then there goes Jesse pulling into the parking lot like a minute later. And I was like, oh
good.
Okay, I'm glad I went through Starbucks then. That's fine.
I also thought I was late. And as I was getting in my car, he drove by. And I was like, all right.
He literally saw me and just started walking towards my car.
I'm like, you guys showed up together in your car. I was like, oh, he got in. He just walked up, opened the door, and hopped in.
I really did.
Yeah, Grand Theft Auto style. Just don't stop. Just keep going.
I mean, he never really even asked. Like, he just saw me.
I just jumped in the car.
He closed his door and just walked into my car. Because for those of you that don't know, Shannon and I live on the same street.
Yeah.
So, like, I have to drive past his apartment to get to, you know, get over here.
We live in the same on the same street and yet hardly ever go see each other.
That's true.
Just like Zach Price lives right next to me.
Yeah, next door neighbor.
And I never go see him.
Except, I mean, you like me more than Zach Price.
Yeah. But you know me, I'm a very private person.
That's true, and you're also not home much anymore.
That's true as well, yeah.
Like, I mean, I could go
this,
visit
this studio
Bob and
is
Lindsay.
My home now, pretty much.
Studio.
Shut up, Stephanie. It's a studio. 709 Broadway.
You see that red light that says on air?
Yeah.
I even pointed to it, which doesn't exist. This is an awesome visual gag for the audio podcast.
And we have the nice window in front, like the Today Show, where our fans come and watch us record.
They put signs up like, fuck you, Dalton, and we hate you, Dalton, and why is Dalton...
How far did we get into the show before he said the F word?
Oh, God, I forgot.
About 3 minutes.
I apologize.
So, go ahead and move on to nerdy stuff now that we've got the banter out of the way.
That is the legal requirement for banter on this show.
Yeah, on the Podzilla 1985 network. Yep. It's in the contract to have a show. That's what you have to do.
Also, Nerd Up is the only show I can be on where I don't have to run the audio. So I can sit over here and just talk and look around and stuff, and it's so nice.
I mean, I can run the audio for you on the other shows, but you just...
I like doing it.
I know, but you do.
It's like when you're driving, you drive all the time, and when your friend says, hey, you want to go ride with me somewhere? You're like, I will take this opportunity to just sit in the car and stare out the window. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's always a nice feeling because there's the same thing. Like, occasionally, Shannon will drive me places, but that's the only person that ever drives me anywhere. I'm looking at you, Dalton. I need you to drive me more places.
Okay. You start putting out because until that happens.
Oh no, that's never gonna happen.
Oh well,
you are like a high school junior, just so desperate for sex at this point.
So desperate.
My God.
Now we've gone over the required banter.
Yeah.
Dalton's single, ladies.
Dalton is single.
Email us at blogzilla1985@gmail.com if you'd like to set up a date with Dalton.
Do we have that email address?
Or Hotmail. I don't know. What is our... Podzilla.
There you go.
I don't know.
You just said Blogzilla.
Here, just call Dalton directly at...
No, please don't. Please don't do that.
Let's not make that a thing.
Okay. All right. So one of the first things I wanted to talk about, Del Toro and Kojima have been in talks over the last week. They actually had a keynote speech they did at the DICE Awards. And a lot of stuff Kojima wanted to talk about. He also tweeted out a picture of him talking with Norman Reedus. So, I mean, they... getting the band back together, so to speak. And Kojima talked about a whole lot of stuff that he wants to do. He's really interested in doing movies, anime, virtual reality, and of course, video games with his new studio. And he did say at the end of the speech that he is actively working on a new game. So really exciting stuff all around, especially like Del Toro and Kojima on a video game. Like if we can get any more stuff, you know, PT style.
Okay, everybody's looking at me. I shouldn't have hit. Well, I shouldn't have sighed. I have a legitimate question that I want you guys to tell me because I don't know the answer to it, and I want to be proven wrong. Does Kojima have any other video game he is known for other than Metal Gear?
Yes. I don't know what it is, but I know he has another game. I mean, you got the internet in front of you.
Oh, yeah, like we have two laptops going in this podcast, and we're asking questions to people that have limited like knowledge whenever we have these two knowledge devices in front of us.
Here's the reason I ask that is because even though I'm sure Hideo Kojima is a great developer, I just worry that he's going to be like a one-hit wonder type thing because, all right, I'm looking at his games right now. It's a whole lot of Metal Gear.
Well, yeah.
In fact, all I see is Metal Gear except for a couple of them, like Castlevania Lords of Shadow he apparently helped on. Not exactly a stellar one. And to be fair, he did Snatcher on Sega CD. That's a good game. It's basically Blade Runner, the video game. I just worry that they give this guy too much credit and that once he moves away from the Metal Gear, you know, foundation.
How much did you love PT?
PT, yes. But PT, I give more credit to
that was the sorry, real quick. The other big one he did that I know if Kevin's listening to this one, he's like, you motherfuckers.
Zone of the Enders?
That's it.
Yeah. Once you said Kevin, I knew immediately.
Yeah.
That's how much I know Kevin.
Speaking of the 200th episode.
Yeah, Kevin owns.
Didn't get to be on.
Wait, didn't Jesse send you an invite?
Hmm? No, Kevin.
Oh, I thought you were talking about you. I was like, oh, I thought Jesse invited you. Okay. Yeah, Kevin couldn't. Well, Kevin lives in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. But we'll have him down again.
Yeah.
But my point on PT was that I give Guillermo del Toro more credit for PT than I do Kojima because I think if it's left entirely to Kojima, the game would be more like the trailer that they released where the monsters are running down the hallway and eyes are coming off the ceiling and stuff like that, as opposed to the very subtle, legitimately terrifying game that PT was.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, you're not wrong. Like, I'm interested to see what the project, what the pair can do in a full video game. And I've also, like, if Del Toro's going to help with the whole, like, movie side of things, if, you know, Del Toro can finally get his movie off the ground with the help of Kojima, like, the movie he's wanted to do for so long, the...
At the Mountains of Madness?
Yes. That would be awesome. Like, I'd really, really like that. Oh, and Police Knots is another one that Kojima did that I just saw.
At the Mountain of Madness is one of those movies that it's unbelievable that they can't get it made.
Yeah.
It's going to star Tom Cruise... And it's directed by Guillermo del Toro, based on an H.P. Lovecraft story. And they can't get it made.
I thought, wasn't there some issue with H.P. Lovecraft, like, trying to get that in the movie? Or trying to get the rights to it to make a movie?
Not that I'm aware of, but I will openly admit that I'm not 100% smart on the issue.
Yeah, because I remember there was something other than just, you know, finding the backing for it.
Oh, speaking of Guillermo del Toro, he guest starred on the newest It's Always Sunny episode again.
Really?
Huh. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Because you knew he was in it before.
Yeah.
Yeah. As Pappy McBoyle.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's always a good time when Del Toro's on there. But, yeah, that's about all I got to say about Del Toro. Oh, one of the other fun little notes that I found, apparently he was originally Silent Hills. Instead of working with Del Toro, Kojima was going to be working with Cliff Bleszinski.
I read that Bleszinski said that they were, yeah.
And I'm really glad that didn't happen.
How would that game have turned out?
Awful. Because I hate Cliff Bleszinski.
Well, he's another one of those guys. It's like, name another game he's done other than Gears of War.
You can't.
You can't.
And, like, he's tried to do side projects since then. Like, he's not good. Like, he's just surrounded by good people, and that's what made Gears of War great. And Gears of War, like, I honestly never played through the story. They bored me. I don't.
Oh, see, I loved playing through Gears of War. I didn't play Judgment, but like the first three, I loved playing them.
But apparently, a lot of the thing is like he wrote the story and everything for it, but the story wasn't good, from my understanding.
I don't remember the story other than monsters come from the planet and then Bender's in prison.
Yeah. So yeah, like it's really just the gameplay that everybody remembers, and I mean he didn't have much to do with that.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's just an asshole. He's one of the biggest proponents of DRM for video games. He thinks the used game market is killing the video game industry. and he's wrong.
So it's somebody that thinks that people are going to ruin the industry by... I feel like that's something we're going to talk about a little bit later, too, on a bigger scale.
On a much larger scale.
Yeah.
On a much larger scale. First, though, one of the minor things I want to talk about, because the thing that Shannon's going to talk about, I think, is going to take up the rest of the show.
Please stop putting me on the pedestal, because I've only got I only got so much.
It'll be fine. So, Xbox exclusives, the Forza Horizon, Forza Motorsports, and Gears of War 4. Apparently may all be going to the PC. And for whatever reason, a bunch of PC fanboys are in an uproar because several of them have already gone out and bought Xbox Ones so they could play those games specifically. Why? Why are they upset about it?
Don't they get it? Yeah, they're allowed to game on their their favorite platform.
I thought they were the master race.
Yeah.
Shouldn't they be happy?
You'd think.
Hitler works so hard for them.
But at this point, apparently there are a lot of them really upset that these games are happening because they already, quote, blew $500 on a shitty console, end quote.
First off, the Xbox One is not a shitty console.
It's really not.
But it's not as good as their PC that they spent $1,500 to make.
Speaking of which, just on a small side note, did anyone else, when we're talking about gaming PCs, did anybody else see the new Alienware?
No.
$15,000.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. It's on Amazon right now. It's on sale for $8,000.
Oh.
And you need to read some of the reviews for it, because they are hilarious. One person says that he loves the PC, but every time he turns it on, a portal opens in the sky and Norse gods come out and wreck his house. There are some great reviews on it.
Because one of the big things about Alienware, and we'll go on a quick tangent here, one of the things that always made me so angry about Alienware, especially once I started building PCs for friends, they were talking about how, because for the longest time, early 2000s, that was the only option for gaming PCs.
You saw it everywhere.
Yeah.
You saw that Alien logo everywhere. You
right.
Looked at PC gaming. Yeah.
If you didn't have an Alienware PC, then you weren't a PC gamer.
I had an Acer.
I had a Compaq for the longest time before I built my first custom. And yeah, once I started building custom PCs, I started looking at the peripherals, and really, you were just paying for that fancy case. That's it.
And don't get it wrong, the case is fancy.
Oh, yeah, the case is fancy as shit. The peripherals themselves, you are paying an extra, grand on average for the fucking case. Because the peripherals aren't that great.
That's exactly how I feel about Macs. I hate using Macs so much.
Yeah. You're paying for a beautiful screen and a bunch of...
What's Macs?
Mac.
Mac. I said Macs.
Apple
PCs.
Sorry. Yeah. Well, she did say Macs, but M-A-C-S, plural.
Oh, Macs.
As in plural. As
I thought you meant Max Power.
See, Shannon, there's more than one. They make them quite frequently.
I've never had one.
I also thought that at first, and I was like, connecting dots, Stephanie does art stuff. She did it at school. She had a Mac computer. Apple!
Macs, popped in my head automatically. I didn't have to think about it.
Macs are really good for, anything Adobe, Photoshop or Illustrator, but they're...
And they also
not if
have
you're
some...
using Maya or something like that. Oh, it's not good if you're using.
Doesn't
Maya.
Have a whole lot of power. For
it doesn't
stuff
have
like
a right click. It bothers me so much.
You can't
right click.
You can get a mouse, a two button mouse, and it'll read
the
it.
The default is not having
accurate.
A right click,
which is frustrating. Because when I was in college, I had to do a project with Objective-C, which is the Apple programming language mm-hmm. for iPhones and stuff. Yeah, I had to grab a different mouse because the mouse I had to use was the proprietary one with no left click. Or no right click. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
But I've been ordering all those computer parts since you're helping me build a computer now, and it's like having a bunch of toys I can't play with. I'm just looking at all this stuff, and more parts came in than I thought I ordered, and I'm like, I don't know what's happening, but I think this is okay.
It'll all go together in one beautiful package.
I think
enough.
So, because everything looks like
and then
it'll
she's
go.
Gonna spend all of her time playing Fire Emblem.
Dual monitors. I'll have the Grump Let's Play of Shovel Knight playing and Fire Emblem going at the same time. That's the plan.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
That's addiction right there, guys. Just so you know, that's
it's fine. It's fine. You're talking to the wrong table for that. Because Shannon also had two monitors at one point. It's a beautiful thing.
Have you ever used Maya and have two monitors?
Mm-mm. It's a beautiful. No one knows.
I think you could have ended that. Have you ever used Maya?
No, never have.
It's
yeah.
a beautiful thing. You can have all the windows open. You can have the render up. You can have what you're working on up. You can have the hyper shade up. You can have everything up at the same
time.
I'm
starting to feel like I played high school football and I peaked at 18. Like, I feel like I'm nerdy to be on this show. I'm just like, no, I'm not nerdy enough anymore, guys. Sorry. No,
I mean, she's up above me. Yeah. Like, I screwed with Maya once in high school. It was neat. I made a donut.
I love that story, too, because you did it the most complicated way possible.
Apparently. So, moving on, though. PC fanboys upset because they bought systems for games then, and I guess they're upset that they didn't have to buy the system. The
PC fanboys are going to be upset about anything.
You're not wrong.
That is the whiniest bunch of gamers I've ever seen in my life, who think they are so entitled and privileged above all other gamers.
And filthy casuals cannot join their ranks. If you own a console, you cannot talk to them about video games.
Sorry, you say filthy casual and I triggered.
That doesn't obviously describe all PC gamers. Like, there are good ones out there. Shannon and I used to describe ourselves as PC gamers.
We did, because we gamed quite a bit on PC. In fact, mm-hmm. It was exclusive, Heroes of the Storm, stuff like that. But we were the nicest PC gamers you ever met.
It's really true.
We didn't rage. We didn't cuss people out. We didn't call them names.
Well, we raged occasionally, just not openly.
No, not in a public forum.
We raged to ourselves.
Yeah.
I
bit myself.
One thing, though, that I do love about the PC gaming crowd, there's a fan project coming, and this is the other thing I wanted to talk about here, is a nice little segue. Knights of the Old Republic, if you guys didn't know, there's a fan project that's being remade in the Unreal 4 engine.
Oh, it's interesting.
Yes. So I don't know if it's going to get...
How long before it gets shut down?
That's what I was about to say. I don't know how long that's going to take, but as of right now, BioWare hasn't done anything about it, and I guess... EA does have the right to it now, don't they?
I think so. Yeah, EA, BioWare, EA Mythic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Because no, I know they...
Because they own they own everything.
Right.
Pretty much.
And I don't remember if they would have any rights to that or not, since it was before the buyout. But maybe. I'm not sure.
Speaking of things that are going to get shut down really quick, you can go to the Star Wars... I saw this last night. TheStarWarsTrilogy.com. It's a fan project. They have... took the original role, cleaned it up, so you can now watch in high definition the original Star Wars movies without edits.
Ooh.
On the StarWarsTrilogy.com. How long before that gets shut off? Probably very quick, but as of right now, you can go there and see Han shoot. It's not Han shot first. It's just Han shot.
Right.
Greedo never took a shot. He just died.
Greedo got shot in cold blood.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
And no Hayden Christensen at the end of Return of the Jedi. It's all David Prowse.
That's fantastic.
It's great. If you've never seen it, you owe it to yourself to see the original trilogy.
Yeah, that's really true. Like without the edits, you don't get the weird Jabba CG scene and like in the New Hope.
All of the terrible CG they added to it.
Right, yeah.
Unnecessary.
Don't have to see all that.
I feel like these four other alien creatures would be really helpful in this scene that didn't need it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it.
How can you tell it's an alien world? Put more alien creatures in there, and they should all be running around and making noises.
Crazy stuff.
It's like Harold Zoid directed the movie.
Harold.
All right. Well, from Stephanie Futurama. Started to say something, and then
No,
Zoidberg's.
I'm losing
uncle.
My ability to talk.
I don't watch Futurama,
which is a great thing for a podcast.
And you're on a show called Nerd Up, and you don't watch Futurama.
Remember what I said about 5 minutes ago? How like there's moments when I'm on the show and I'm just like, wow.
Speaking of Futurama, I use Futurama as a joke to speak to a personal favorite of mine. I was super excited about it. I don't think anyone else cared, but I got on Twitter recently. Mm. I tweet, and I tweeted to Mitch Pileggi, who's on The X-Files. He's Walter Skinner. He was also in Supernatural. He's been in a ton of stuff. And he posted this thing that said, I now realize the problem with the world. There are too many assholes. So I replied to it just for fun and said, you got this life thing figured out, cymbal banging monkey. Which he replied to me and said, did you just call me a cymbal banging monkey? And I said, I don't know whether to be just happy you replied to me or to let you know that it's from Futurama. I'm sorry, sir. Which he said, lol, I love the cymbal banging monkey. I'm just kidding with you. I immediately got on Facebook and was like, I talked to Mitch Pileggi!
Yeah, that's actually one of the cool things about Twitter. Like, those celebrities actually do. I mean, they actively check and tweet stuff.
It's
so
insane. It's like they're real people.
Right? That's crazy. Yeah, actually, I also started doing the Twitter stuff since, you know, we're trying to be more on the social media for Podzilla 1985.
We got fans. We need to interact with them.
It's true. And I retweeted out a picture that I guess someone is going through all the Greg Capullo
covers. I saw you
covers.
Posted that, yeah.
Yeah, and they're doing it in, like, Batman the Animated Series style.
Oh.
Right? Right? It's awesome. It's beautiful. So, moving on. I had a segue to the next one. Ubisoft wanted to talk about...
I'm so sorry.
It's all right. It's entirely fine. We talked about it a little bit on the last episode of Nerd Up. The Assassin's Creed series is no longer going to be a yearly release. Like, there's none for this year.
I actually had that pulled up. I was going to mention that if you didn't, because I know Tanner's... I don't know if he knows about it yet, but he's got to be salty.
Yeah, well... Salty Tanner. I feel like he shouldn't be salty. Like, Ubisoft is taking a step in the right direction. They talk about the industry as less hit-driven and more dependable games is what they're trying to aim toward, which is a good thing. That needs to happen. So they're going to stop doing these yearly bugged out terrible releases and actually spend time on the games.
That is like I do get suspicious on games that release a new one every single year.
Yeah. And for some stuff it's understandable, like sports stuff, because you can just take basically the same engine, alter it a little bit, put new people in it, and put it out. And it kind of sucks that they charge full price for it, but at least there's a reason.
Well, then why don't they just update the roster and then only update the game every 2 or 3 years? Because
that's what I've always said, but I mean, the way they make do more money.
Well, I mean, yeah, I know that, but I mean, besides that,
it makes sense.
The way they're doing it now, like, you could have gotten away with that in, like, the early Xbox 360, mm-hmm. like Madden's. You could easily update the roster, because they did that with, like, people like Brett Favre whenever he decided not to retire, and Michael Vick whenever he came back, mm-hmm. because you can just put generic face A. They're doing a lot more screen, like...
You can still change the well, no, the map on him.
Which, you're right, but whenever you have, like, 100 rookies come in, and somebody really wants to play as somebody from their college that got drafted to the Bengals for some reason. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure you get the most accurate. Like, it's a lot more work
you're
now.
You're not going to be able to
see that accurate face under that helmet. You know?
but you can see them. Like, I understand what Dalton's saying. Like, you can cruise through the roster. And it's something you can see, and it's a feature they put in the game. And they would have to take out that feature in order to do that update. Or they would have to throw in a bunch of extra money, time, effort, and downloads.
Yeah.
Or let's be honest. Free content. Well, let's be honest. They do it because they make more money.
Well, yeah, definitely. Yeah,
that's why they do it.
And then you also have, like, players unions. You want to make sure these players that are getting concussions every other week are getting paid accordingly for...
Yes, the $1 million they're getting is not enough to the $2 million they could be getting.
I'm not saying it's right. I'm just
that's
giving
a small
you...
business loan.
You talk to Trump, that's a small loan. That's a small loan. But no, like...
I mean, that's the money they could have saved by not having to...
And Dalton's going into... So he's going in the crawl space.
No, I'm kind of with Dalton here. Like, a couple of years ago, switching you definitely could have done it. And in fact, they have. If you remember, like, the FIFA fiasco on the Wii...
Where they just updated the roster.
Yeah, they took, I think it was like FIFA 13 to 14.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exact same game released, just with an updated roster. Like, EA's done that before.
Well, what is it, Dalton? 2K does it. Remember when 2K, Wrestling 2K 14 and 15 on Xbox 360, or maybe it's 15 and 16, on Xbox 360 and PS3 are the exact same as last year, just with new characters. They put none of the updated features that are in the Xbox One and PS3 versions on it.
That's been the
completely
same.
Completely stripped it.
Yeah, it's been the same between... WWE 2K14, 2K15 were the same game, just different rosters.
Yeah.
I haven't played 2K16 on the older gens because I have a PS4 now.
I'm pretty sure it's the same thing.
Yeah.
And that's so sad that they do that, because they don't, you know, like, with putting a game out every year, that's part of the problem with it.
Yeah. And one of the things I feel like they could really take advantage of, those companies, charge for the updated rosters every year. If somebody owns a version of the game, then the next year when that game comes out, they can continue using their old disc and charge them $20 for an updated roster.
You don't get the new features, but you get the new characters.
Exactly.
You still
I
have
feel
an
like
issue with people getting paid, though, especially with like WWE, you have a lot of people cut. There was one year, I don't remember which year it was, but over, I want to say, a fifth of the roster by the time the game came out was released, because they had a big purge.
Well, see, that's what I'm talking about, though. Like, it doesn't really matter. They still get money. Like, they get, if you charge $20 for the DLC pack, that cuts out, like, you know, the extra release stuff for, like, physical release, physical distribution.
Yeah, yeah.
You save a lot of cost on that.
That's
and
what I
like,
was trying to get at, is if you don't make the disc, then there you go.
And on top of that, you're not updating anything else. You are literally releasing an update with new textures and new characters. So, I mean, cost, minimal. Making $20 a download, like, I feel like they can make bank on that for the Xbox 360 and PS3 versions.
I do want to say, when it comes to 2K especially, they are the worst when it comes to stuff like that. You want them to put out new wrestlers, like, when the roster changes. They have all their DLC set in stone the moment they start playing in the game. DLC should have been invented to do stuff like that. Like, if you have a wrestling game and a new wrestler comes in 6 months after release, you do DLC to put him in the game. That makes sense. That's what DLC is for. It's downloadable content.
Yeah.
But no, they plan it out months in advance, once it's set in stone, they will not put out any more DLC for the game.
Yeah. And I will give EA props.
And that
props.
Is ridiculous.
EA UFC is amazing. Like, whenever EA UFC did their first game,
yes.
they were awesome with their DLC. Because
they put Lesnar in.
Yeah, they put
months
Lesnar
later.
In. They put a whole bunch of people in.
Yeah, that, and on top of that, like...
For free, by the way. For free.
They do roster updates for free. So, like, if rosters change, like, if a trade happens in the middle of the year, like, if you have Madden, and a trade happens in the middle of the year, that player, like, they live update it. Like, I'm trying to think
they
of
do
a,
it weekly.
Yeah, they do it every week. And I'm trying to think of
who's
one of the big
up
roster
badly?
Changes.
Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off.
Who screwed up that badly, though?
To get traded midseason?
Yeah.
Happens all the time.
Yeah, it really does.
There's literally a trade deadline in the NBA, which I think is this week?
Something. Yeah, this week or last week.
But, like, they just trade because they're just like, oh, we need to get to the playoffs. Fuck this guy. Let's get this guy.
Yeah, they actually...
two F words. Dalton
Oh, my God. He's cussed, like, four times.
I don't think he has,
I
buddy.
Don't think I have either.
You called Cliff Bleszinski an asshole. You said shitty.
That's not an F word. You can say all those things on TV.
That's true.
God damn it.
You can't say that.
Can't say that on TV. So, anyway, the... I had a point to... Oh, yeah. Yeah, like, last year, Trent Richardson... He found out that he got traded from the Cleveland Browns to the Indianapolis Colts. Was it last? No, it was the year before last. Mm-hmm. He found out from a tweet.
Like, I was somebody hoping you were going to say him. He found out when he was playing Madden.
No, that would have been incredible. No, he found out a tweet. Somebody tweeted, is like, dude, you on the Colts now? And he's like, no. What?
Maybe. I don't know. I didn't check my email.
And
the
then
last
next week
minutes.
He was in a Colts jersey.
Why'd I answer my phone?
It was really funny. So, yeah, no, that kind of stuff happens all the time. And yeah, EA does those updates for free, like all season. But as soon as the season's over, you've got to get the next season in order to get all the new updated rosters.
It's a little different when it's something like Assassin's Creed. Let's bring it back full circle, because Assassin's Creed is not a sports game.
No,
it's a game,
right?
With its own storyline, its own characters, unique to each game.
That's been super broken the past 3 years they've released games.
Super broken. It's like, you know...
Super broken.
You would say that, like, oh, it's because they put a game out yearly. But then you look at someone like Bethesda.
Okay, here's the deal. I was going to bring that up.
Yeah,
okay?
Bethesda.
I was one step ahead of you. I was just thinking, let's talk about Bethesda.
What are your thoughts on that?
It's charming.
It's charming?
I've heard you say this before, yeah.
Okay, here's the deal with Bethesda. Like, there's a quest in Skyrim that literally I can't finish. The game glitched out and I can't do it. I'm not talking about that glitch. I'm talking about how you kill a dragon in Skyrim and it glitches out and then slowly flies towards the sun.
He's just going back home. Yeah.
I also like some of my favorite ones are like all the gifts and everything people did from Fallout New Vegas. Where it's like the very first guy you talk to was so bugged in so many
his
games.
His head would like spin
his
around.
His head would start spinning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and not talking about like, you know, spinning like an owl spins their head. I'm talking about like their face starts rotating clockwise.
Yeah.
No.
I've seen that one, yeah.
I guess the difference is that game is so massive. Fallout and Elder Scrolls are so massive that, yeah, it's going to bug out. That's just going to happen. But... it's charming enough and funny enough that people can look past it versus Assassin's Creed, because they make one every single year.
I'll say plus
it looks bad on them.
And I'm sorry, Tanner, but I just enjoy Elder Scrolls way more than Assassin's Creed. I've never been an Assassin's Creed fan, so this news affects me none.
I really like the Ezio trilogy, but outside of that...
Yeah. I like Black Flag because I could be a pirate. Like, that was fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, if it means they put out better games...
Right, sure. No, I'm all for it. And, I mean, I've talked about before how, like, I'm okay with a game taking forever to release as long as the final product is amazing.
Nintendo.
Yeah. They criticize Call of Duty for that. Like, why do you have a Call of Duty every year?
That's
not fair, because
they
it's
have
a three developer.
Studios
yeah.
on it.
So you're on at least a three-year cycle.
Yeah.
So give Call of Duty a break,
but
guys.
But at the same time, doesn't that get oversaturated with Call of Duty?
Oh, absolutely.
See, oh, definitely.
And, like, even if that's, I guess, because we've talked about that before, that, you know, they've got the three different developers and they work in rotation,
et cetera. Yeah, I think we talked about it the same day we talked about the Assassin's Creed thing, because we brought it up, because I brought it up one time.
Yeah.
It gets old. And I think that's kind of what happened to Assassin's Creed, is because, like, it was something really special that people look forward to. Batman, I feel, fell into this, too, with
Guitar
the
Hero.
Arkham series.
Yeah.
Guitar Hero.
Tony Hawk.
It's just like it kept happening, and you took something that people honestly like Kingdom Hearts. Kingdom Hearts 3 has taken forever, like absolutely forever to come out. And I know they released a bunch of those little spin-offs, but they don't do a new Kingdom Hearts every year. I will buy a PlayStation 4 for Kingdom Hearts 3.
Or that I don't is think it's Xbox One. I think it's going to come out on Xbox One.
It's both, guaranteed.
But, I'm going towards PlayStation 4 anyway.
She is choosing a PlayStation 4.
Yes. Smart move, I think.
But you understand what I'm saying, though, right? Yeah. Is it gets oversaturated.
It's like Street Fighter. How long did it take them to go from Street Fighter 2 to Street Fighter 3? 30 games?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, they literally had 6 different Street Fighter 2 titles at least.
Yeah.
Not including the extra versions they made on other systems.
Yeah, the ports and whatnot.
Yeah. But yeah, no, like, I know you want to talk about Street Fighter 2 as
that
well.
That was my let's move into other territory.
I wanted to mention one other quick thing about Call of Duty with the whole, like, 3 developer thing. You have people like Shannon and I, for an example. Our favorite of the Call of Duty games is Black Ops.
The Treyarch series.
Yeah, the Treyarch ones. So, I mean, we're going to be playing Black Ops 3. Like, if we choose to play a Call of Duty game, it'll be Black Ops 3 until Treyarch releases another game. So, it's...
But I got to be honest with you. Every time a new Call of Duty comes out, I go, yeah, I'm not going to buy it. I'll wait for Black Ops. But then I start seeing it, and I go, all right. And then I buy it anyway.
And then I trade it in.
And then I trade it in 2 weeks later and go, yeah, I suck at it.
I mean, and then you know those guys that show up and they pick up Madden and they pick up Call of Duty.
Yeah.
That's all they buy every year. The hardcore gamers.
Yeah. They're definitely people that do it every year.
That used to be me. Like, I would buy Madden every year and then I wouldn't buy Call of Duty. This Black Ops 3 was the first Call of Duty game I've ever bought. But I'd always buy Madden. I would always buy WWE and I would always buy Assassin's Creed. Those were my 3 games. And then if there was like a DC game that came out, I'd always buy it. But I was that person for the longest time. Now I'm a little more picky and choosy with
what
I do.
And that's fine. The first time I was on Nerd Up, remember I did that big rant about gamers?
You're going to have to be more specific.
It was when Crystal was gone and I did the angry rant about how people are criticizing mobile gamers.
The casual gamers.
It doesn't matter what games you buy. If you play a game, you're a gamer.
Right.
It doesn't matter what you play. So if you play Assassin's Creed and Call of Duty, don't worry. We like you.
Like Shannon just said, and then I agreed with him, I really prefer the Black Ops series, but yes, I have owned every single Call of Duty since Call of Duty 4.
And same thing with Street Fighter.
Yeah.
I keep buying Street Fighters, no matter how many times they repackage it.
Did you buy Street Fighter 5?
Not yet. But and I'm really debating it, but we'll talk about that here in about 10 seconds.
All right. 4, 3, 2, Street Fighter.
Yeah. That was not 10 seconds. Uh-uh. Anyway.
I needed to move quicker.
You beat me to it. We're at 10 seconds.
Let's go.
Street Fighter. So, I know Shannon's really upset about Street Fighter 5.
I am upset about Street Fighter 5. What year is this? It's 2016, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, how many Street Fighters have come out? And why is it that Street Fighter 5 is basically the starter pack for Street Fighter? It's like you expect them, you know how Call of Duty has the multiplayer starter pack now?
Yeah.
Where it's like $15 and you get these features, but later on you can get more for more money?
Right.
That's what Street Fighter 5 is. We're going to put Street Fighter 5 out in 2016 with a roster of 16 characters. 16 characters, of which I think 4 are new. Which means that of the entire Street Fighter roster that has been built over 25, 30 years, you have 12 characters for people to pick from. 2 of which are palette swaps, Ken and Ryu, because they're the same character.
They've changed up a little bit over the years.
But still basically the same fighting style.
Yeah.
It's like when you played Mortal Kombat and you had Smoke, Reptile, back in the old days, like they look exactly the same.
When it really was just a bunch of palette swaps.
It's just a palette swap, yeah. So you have that. You have no arcade mode. You cannot just get on the game and go, I'm just going to beat up a bunch of people in a row. No, you can't do that. You have survival mode, but that's not the same. Survival mode, you take damage, you keep damage. There's lots of reasons I don't like survival mode. You can't just pick a fighter and pick a person to beat up and beat them up. There's no versus mode. Your options are limited to online, survival, and a bit of story that's barely fleshed out, and the practice mode.
Yeah.
Again, this is 2016. There is no reason that a $60 major studio release should be so bare bones, especially when Mortal Kombat came out and Mortal Kombat kicked the shit out of all other fighting games with its roster and its gameplay and its insane, massive story. There's no reason that a game should be so lackluster, especially from Street Fighter, which is the king of fighting games. What did you play as a kid when you wanted to play a fighting game? It was either Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat. And Street Fighter was always my favorite because it was just a better game than the original Mortal Kombat. Sorry, Asa, but it was.
I guess that's sort of also kind of related to a thought I just had. It was just like you just said it. It's been around for 20, 30 years. Why don't they just make a new fighting game?
Like instead of Street Fighter, do something new?
Yeah, just drop Street Fighter Capcom entirely.
They did, especially during the late 90s and early 2000s. There was a ton of most of them were either really low key, and a lot of them were on Neo Geo. You know, most system people didn't have, but there was Rival Schools. There was Primal. Plus you,
like, there was a ton of like 2D fighters back in the day
from Especially Capcom.
Capcom on Super Nintendo. Right.
But it's just like Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat just keep coming up again and again and again. Again and again and again and again, and it's just like, okay, well, what else do you guys got?
I mean, there's basically, of fighting games nowadays, there's what, five major ones? There's Street Fighter, Tekken, Mortal Kombat, Soul Calibur,
Smash.
And Smash.
See, I don't count Smash, not because it's a good game and not a good game, but I'm talking about just one-on-one.
You're talking about like the 2D fighters.
Yeah,
like
one-on-one traditional fighters. 2D yeah. But there have been a lot of new ones that have come. King of Fighters is another one that's a little bit more low-key, but
I feel like King of Fighters now is kind of just faded off into nothingness.
They have a new one coming out.
Killer Instinct just released. Well, they released one for the Xbox One right when it launched. I want
one called Palette Swap Ninjas.
Palette Swap Ninjas.
Just call the fighting game Palette Swap Fighters.
And yeah,
do you want red or blue?
There have been a whole $60. Lot of fighting games that are like tournament style. Like, I guess you can almost define like what makes a successful fighting game as it having a competitive scene.
Yeah,
which. I mean, I know there are a ton of games out there that people just play for fun, but a lot of people determine the success, and that's why I think Street Fighter keeps going, because there's a huge competitive following for it. Same thing with Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, because Street Fighter was the original arcade fighter.
Right.
Before we all had systems, you know, I'm old. I'm the oldest one there at the table. Dalton, let me tell you how it used to be in my day. We'd go down to – we didn't actually have an arcade. But theoretically, I would go down to the arcade, and we would play Street Fighter all day.
You'd throw your quarters up there, call next.
And it was amazing. Like, there was a huge arcade scene, and – those were glory days of video games. And they still have that in Japan. The arcade scene is still pretty popular over there. In America, it's mostly died out. So now we have home console releases with online play. Street Fighter is one of the big tournament competitive fighters. Mm-hmm. So now you've released a new version of it with a neutered roster, no features. It's almost like they specifically made it for people that are playing in tournaments. But why would you – the characters are what drives me the craziest. Why would you put so few characters in? Like, there is no excuse, especially when Mortal Kombat set the bar so high, to have so few features and so few fighters.
Well, I mean, when you say so high, I do want to point out Mortal Kombat originally only had 25 characters.
Are you talking about the new one?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I thought you were talking about the original Mortal Kombat, because yes, the original Mortal Kombat had like 8 people.
Right. No,
you know,
no, Mortal Kombat X.
2016, we're talking about today.
So, yeah, no, Mortal Kombat X.
1985
but,
today.
And they have added...
1985.
Five. They have added, what is it, 8 new characters since the game release?
Yeah.
9 if you include Goro, I guess.
And I do, Asa. Goro low kick.
Fucking Goro.
Oh, he said the F word. Yep, you're free.
He started fucking it, so he already started it up. No, I say the F word on every episode of Nerd Up. I'll be honest.
Challenge is if I say it.
That's true. I've still.
She's gonna win every time.
She will.
Just kind of frustrated to the point of just breaking.
She won't.
If she didn't with Dennis Cole, she won't with you. Trust me.
That's really true.
Triggered.
Stephanie just had like Vietnam flashbacks.
I saw a Twitch. It was just a sudden. It was in the left eye. It wasn't a full shot.
I've dealt with worse now, but that's this is not the time nor the place.
But so. I do want to mention at least that about Mortal Kombat. Like, it had more characters for sure, and it had a whole lot more modes. I will say, in Street Fighter's defense, before I say anything in Street Fighter's defense, I think the game is fine for me. Like, if I were into Street Fighter, it would be fine for how I play video games, particularly fighting games. However, I don't feel like it's worth the $60 price tag.
No.
That's easily a $50 game, at most $40, great price point.
You know, it's going to be worth it in about a year whenever they do Street Fighter Deluxe
Super
Edition.
Street Fighter
Super Street Fighter 5 or Street Fighter 5 Turbo, whatever they want to call
it. That's the frustrating part of it, is you know that's coming.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's no doubt as soon as that game hit the shelves and you saw how many people were in it, you went, okay, here comes the super version.
Yeah,
and then comes the super version arcade edition.
And I hope that...
You know how many versions of Street Fighter 4 there were? Street Fighter 4, Super Street Fighter 4, Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition, Super Street Fighter 4 Ultra Arcade Edition.
Mm-hmm.
My God, stop milking me.
And the real problem is, like, that's how Street Fighter handles balance updates.
It's through game updates, through new releases.
New releases.
Yeah.
You can, like, I know with Street Fighter 4, there was special cool stuff you got, just aesthetic. If you had the original version, because, you know, we are all really into Street Fighter 4 for a while. We were actually planning on, like, getting tournament ready and start going to tournaments and stuff, because we thought
it
would be a lot of fun.
Nonstop.
Yeah, honestly. We played a lot of Street Fighter 4.
And that's why I want to play 5, because I love Street Fighter, but I feel like this is one of those things where if I buy this, I am contributing to the downfall of gaming.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I feel like you said before, this is specifically geared toward the tournament style, like the tournament people, like the competitive fighting game folks, because there's no, like... There's no comp stomping other than the practice mode is the basically what Shannon was getting at.
And survival mode.
Yeah, which is I feel like survival mode's not really a comp stomp. It actually is a challenging mode that's frustratingly hard sometimes.
It's just baffling that in a game like Street Fighter, and you take out one of these staples of a fighting game, which is arcade mode.
Mm-hmm.
That's what most fighting games were built on, was an arcade mode. And you took it out for what reason? Now, they are going to have an update in March that puts stuff in the game. March is next month, right? Yep. Why didn't you just delay the release to put the rest of the game in it?
Yeah.
And I swear to Christ, if you charge for it.
Yeah, that's going to be beyond.
You're
going to
get a letter.
Up. Yeah, from many people, not just Shannon Young.
No, I'll learn how to write and send you something.
But for me, like, I never played fighting game against the computer. Like, I never went into an arcade mode and just played against a computer. If whenever we were getting really into Street Fighter 4, I would go into practice mode. And I would learn combos and setups and everything else, but I never just played one-on-one against a computer. And when I was younger playing the game, we've talked about this before, I have a younger sibling. He's a year and a half younger than me. And any video game we got ever had to have two-player, which I blame for a lot of, you know, my lack of being able to play single-player games these days. It had to have two-player, and fighting games are always the best. That's why we loved the fact that fighting games existed. So they were all two-player. We could just play against each other and scream at each other and hit each other with controllers.
The good old days.
Yeah, the good old days of the late 90s and early 90s. Anyway.
And still today.
You can still do that in 2016. 2000s.
Yeah, in the late 2000s and then the 2010s. No, and today now, still probably.
Jake and I haven't played video games together in a long time.
No, I mean, you can hit somebody else with the controller.
We sit next to each other all the time. And
you can hit Dalton with the controller.
Speaking of Call, speaking of Call of Duty, I feel like this, my argument, is how the people that bought Black Ops 3 on Xbox 360 and PS3 feel. Because they're like, why is there no single player? Why is there no campaign? And we're like, well, who cares? We just play Call of Duty for the multiplayer. It's like you saying, well, I don't care. I'm just going to play online with people. But I like arcade mode. I like to get on and just go, okay, pick a character and just beat the crap out of people that won't call me, you know, racial slurs online.
That or next to you.
Yeah, we're next to me, Steven.
Yeah, that's and I'd get that, too. And one of the things about Call of Duty, at least I respect that they made the 360 and PS3, the neutered versions, cheaper. Should have been much cheaper than what they made them.
$10, but you get a download code for the first Black Ops.
Woo!
Oh, see, I thought you were going to say like 55 instead of 60. No,
it is $49.99.
That would be very funny.
Is what they released after
Black
PS3
Ops
and 360.
Black Ops 1 probably does cost $5 right now.
No. That's, I think Black Ops 1 used still runs for $18.99.
That was the joke, Dalton.
Oh.
That was the joke.
Get it?
So, anywho.
Hey, what's the main event?
The main event? YouTube! Goddamn YouTube.
Motherfuckers of the week?
Maybe. But it's not really, like,
does
YouTube.
That still happen?
YouTube isn't the motherfucker of the week.
No, like, they kind of are.
I mean, they can do something about this. They can. They definitely can, and they should. Many of you who are listening to the show have probably heard, at least in part, about the fair use shit that's going on with YouTube. The short version, there are companies, whether it be like record companies, movie studios, what producers, whatever, that are actually hiring out people to check videos to see how much of their content is in the video. They can file a claim against the video and have that video removed. Or, in the case of what they've been doing, they have been claiming the money that the video earns. And the problem is, it's all through an automated system. They file their claim. The claim is automatically accepted because they can prove that they own the content. They claim all money earned by the video for that period of time before the person who posted the video originally has to file a response. Then the original claimant has 30 days before they have to respond. In that 30 days...
The video
is
down, isn't it?
No, the video is running and earning money for the person that filed the claim.
Yeah.
So even if they don't actually have a claim to the content or it's under, you know, fair use, companies are hiring out people to basically steal money from these YouTubers.
And the system is so broken. And Jesse, you hit the nail on the head. And there's a lot of little things that are annoying about it that I don't know if you read about. Like, you only, for every YouTuber, they only have 3 appeals at a time.
Yes.
So if you have
per 10, year.
Yeah.
Like,
so if you have 10 videos flagged, and especially for guys like, you know, people that put out a ton of content, like say Screw Attack or Angry Video Game. I don't know.
Boogie2988. Any of them that put out like multiple videos a month.
So if you have 10 videos out and you have 10 claims against them, you can only appeal 3 at a time. And like you said, it takes forever to get it. And they do take the money that is earned by your video. And there's 2 ways to do it. There's a strike and there's a claim.
Right.
The strike will just literally stop you from uploading stuff. It shortens your videos to 15 minutes.
And automatically removes the video that was striked.
Yeah. And you can't respond to it. You can't do anything. They completely take away your power to do it. If they do what Jesse said, they will take the money from your video that it's making and they never have to give that back. They keep the money. Even if they're found to be wrong, they keep all money earned during that time period. The worst part about it, and the part that if you ever watch, do you watch Nostalgia Critic? Mm-hmm. Doug Walker, he did a great video on it.
I've seen that go floating around Facebook.
I think he's really started something with this because now everyone's responding to it. It's becoming a thing. It's he's almost
got a big following.
So. And he's right, too.
Yeah.
It's almost like, and I don't want to sound like I'm comparing this to like rape or something. I'm not. But it's like one of those things where when one person comes out and says, this happened to me, all these other people are coming out now and saying, this happened to me too.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about it. You're not afraid. I'm not afraid. The worst part about it is there are no repercussions to people that file claims against YouTubers.
Right. It's only the original posters. The original posters they take penalties for claims, even if they're false. They can only do, again, 3 times. And it's the same thing with the strike. Even if the strike comes back false, and, you know, everything was, and YouTube, you know, like, oh, our bad, I guess.
We'll put your video back up and all that.
Yeah, you get your video back up. You get the restrictions removed. However, that's still a strike. If you get 2 more strikes, your channel is gone forever.
And that the guy that did it originally can do it again. He can keep, they can keep filing claims and strikes and they don't face any penalty for it. They can just constantly do it. I think one of the guys said that he got his strike removed because he proved that he was in his rights to do it. And then they filed one immediately after for the same video.
Yep.
And had to go through the entire process again. YouTube is doing nothing to protect the people that are posting videos. And I want to go out on a limb here. Go out on a limit. I'll bring that back. We didn't do that on the 200th episode.
It's true.
When I first started seeing Krista and Steven and Stephanie and you guys watching YouTube videos, I didn't watch YouTube videos at the time. I thought that, well, these guys are just making money off of somebody else's work. They're posting, oh, look at me. I'm posting a video of me playing a game. I didn't get it. And I think I get it now, that how much work goes into making those videos.
To being entertaining for an hour and a half.
Yes. So these guys are working hard. I mean, they're producing real content, and there is no protection for these guys.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not even like Let's Plays and stuff. One of the more ridiculous examples that I saw of...
Was it the guys in the car?
The guys in the car. There's the YouTubers that do... I can't remember their name to save my life. But they're these YouTubers that do what they call the midnight show. And basically, they'll go to movies, and they'll see like a midnight showing of a movie. And after the movie, they'll be in this dude's car with a cell phone, and they'll just record themselves talking about the movie and reviewing it. And, you know, they'll post that. One of those videos got struck.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't even, like, a claim against, you know, private use or anything like that. They showed no video clips of the movie. The entire video is, like, you know, this dude and a few friends sitting in a car talking about the movie.
It would be like if we just sat here right now just talking about, like we're doing right now. We have no, you know, it would
like
be
like we're talking about Call of Duty, yeah, and like then like if, Activision right, comes after us,
and they took a strike against because we talked about their game. Like that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
that is a blatant, you know, freedom of speech. People throw that term around a lot, but that's what that is.
Yeah. And YouTube, they haven't said anything on this because
of course
I don't.
They haven't.
Because I mean, YouTube is owned by Google. Google bought out YouTube, and a lot of the problem comes from when that happened. Google bought out YouTube a few years ago. Viacom immediately sued YouTube, knowing that, you know, they would be able to get to Google about having their content on there. Funny side note: a lot of Viacom's content that was on YouTube was uploaded by Viacom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fucking stupid. So it's
incredible the levels of stupidity that goes into this.
Yeah. So Google won the case with just some modifications or some interpretations of the DMCA, the Digital Media Copyright Act. I think that's what DMCA is. Either way, Google won the case with that. However, what they set up was a whole lot of restrictions that were supposed to protect content creators. What ended up happening, though, is they made this system that has apparently been, and this isn't new. Like, this is a, like Shannon was saying, you know, everybody's coming out of the woodwork to talk about it because this has been happening to every popular YouTuber for years.
I think they were afraid to talk about it because they didn't want the wrath of God coming down on them. You know, you never speak out against the people you work for. Mm. So if they get their videos pulled from YouTube, it's not like they're, we do this as a labor of love. We don't make any money off our podcast. We do it because we like doing it. But these guys actually make a living. This is their job. So you take away, like Doug Walker, the Nostalgia Critic, in his video, I think it was a different video, but he talked about how he had a strike against him. His site literally made no money for about a month, month and a half, while he was waiting to talk to someone from YouTube because he couldn't get a hold of anybody. Yeah. He was calling, he was writing, he literally sent them letters. No one would respond to him. And the entire time this is happening, he's not making money. The people that work for him aren't making money. And they don't know what's going on. That's ridiculous. You cannot do that.
Because he literally describes it as feeling helpless because you cannot contact a person. There's nobody at YouTube, no customer support, nothing that you can call.
And his site has like dozens and dozens of reviewers on it. It's not just him and like two other people.
Yeah, it's a business.
Yes.
Yeah.
As is like, say, anybody at Rooster Teeth or anybody at Game Grumps. Like, it's a big, big group of people.
Which really, like, I understand why they do it. Like, it's a really, really easy way. But at the same time, they probably should look into doing something like Rooster Teeth is a great example. They've almost completely separated themselves from YouTube. Like, they
have their own site.
Yeah, they have their own site, their own upload service,
same thing
their
with
own
Classic
videos.
Game Room. I used to watch it on YouTube. And Mark, he took his stuff off for the longest time and just put it on his own site because he didn't want to deal with it.
There's a pop music reviewer that I watch who goes by Todd in the Shadows. And yeah, every time he puts his reviews on YouTube, there's about a 60-40 chance that it's going to be flagged immediately and he'll upload it to Vimeo. Yep. Like every single time because I can watch the new review. No, I can't.
And I mean, YouTube has been the golden standard for... Sorry, Stephanie. No, it's okay. You off there. YouTube has been the golden standard for creators, like content creators. They can go there. It's easy to do. Monetizing stuff is really easy to do if you get popular. It's, you know, YouTube, so everybody goes there.
It's like Facebook. Right. It's the one. It's like Walmart. It's what you know.
Yeah.
You know?
So it's one of those things like it's going to be difficult. Like if YouTube doesn't do anything about it though soon, enough of these creators are going to be making videos and going to other sites like Vimeo. And I don't know how their content creation stuff works. I know Vimeo is way more lax on their original content stuff and their protection because you can find stuff on there that's definitely wouldn't be on YouTube because it's very much stolen content.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, something's going to happen. Like YouTube is going to crash.
I feel like the revolution is starting and it's so weird to be talking about a revolution on YouTube. Right? But if you look at how many videos have come up about this, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I didn't know this was happening. And I'm so glad that we, as Podzilla 1985, did not go to YouTube. Remember, we tried?
We
started to. And then we very quickly thought, this probably isn't a good idea. And it's not. I know we say we hate Podbean, and we do. But at the same time, I feel like if we were on YouTube for longer than two or three episodes, especially if we made custom content for YouTube...
How we were going to start getting like cease and desist letters and all this other
strikes
shit.
And claims. And I don't want to deal with that. I just want to, I'm like these other guys. I just want to create content and entertain people.
Right.
That's all we want to do.
Yeah. So yeah, it's one of those things. YouTube is definitely a great networking service because your shit can be found by random searches.
Especially if YouTube supports it.
Right.
Because apparently there is a level of YouTuber, and Boogie talked about this in his video. There is a level of YouTuber that is almost completely... almost like diplomatic immunity against strikes and claims. If you make enough money, if you're one of the chosen ones, you can do whatever you want and they completely ignore it.
Yeah, and those are like PewDiePie would be one of those. Like
Machinima, apparently is one of them.
Any of those guys that are in, you know, the upper echelon, like they get, you know, hundreds of thousands of subscribers and all that other stuff. Yeah, they
and that's completely unfair. They should protect them just like they protect Boogie, like they should protect PewDiePie and the Game Grumps, all the way down to Nate's My Little Pony review site.
Yeah.
Give it shit all you want, but he has a right to post stuff and his opinions and stuff like that. He's not trying to re-upload things to get... He doesn't upload My Little Pony videos. He uploads clips to talk about them. That's the point of the internet, is to discuss and show things.
It's fair use in general. Like, whenever you do reviews, and it's one of those things, like, it's very important to note that these videos that are being, like, striked against and claimed against, they are literally companies abusing the policy.
Yeah.
Because they're not they're not good claims. They're not, they have no actual claim. They just do it because they're guaranteed money out of it. So if they get, like, you know, obviously they can't do it to like Boogie or PewDiePie or any of those like bigger ones. But if they take like...
Oh, Boogie can. That's what he was complaining about. Right, he's not on that level. That's why if you ever watch his videos, he doesn't post any video of the things he's talking about. He used to post videos like with the Star Wars trailer reaction where he was crying.
Oh, yeah. He used to have like the clip inside of it.
He doesn't do that anymore because he says every time he does it, within a couple days, video's pulled.
Because like these are literally like companies are hiring people whose sole job is to scour YouTube for those mid-range YouTubers that are making like a fairly substantial amount of money to steal money from them. They're like, this has enough of our content in it that we can steal money for 30 days.
Or it doesn't have any of our content in it, but we can steal money from them.
Because they mention, if they get mentioned, like it's one of those things that you do have to have at least, I don't know, a word or two in there that could be possibly construed as stolen content, like not under the fair use. And yeah, they can steal profits from these guys for 30 days at a time. It's
assuming
ridiculous.
That YouTube responds in time and gets the claim pulled.
Right. Or because it could be longer. Like they get a guaranteed 30 days worth of revenue from these videos. So
I also know that like Todd, for example, he's got a Patreon going, and I think he said on Twitter recently that most of his money he gets from doing his videos he gets from Patreon because of all this mess with YouTube and everything else.
Yeah, which makes sense.
Yeah, but that's going the hard route versus actually being able to just watch the video and seeing it right there already versus figuring out.
You're supporting like, you know, your favorite YouTubers just by watching their video with ad block off.
Yeah.
But, you know, with all this crap going on right now, Patreon is the only way you can actually support your favorite YouTubers. And that involves money coming out of your bank account for them, which, I mean, if you like the content and you want to support them, cool. But. Yeah.
Cough.
We do have a Patreon. I will say Patreon is really easy to set up. It's just a downside for your listeners. A lot of these videos you cannot support just by watching them anymore.
And
like I watch with ad block off.
Yeah.
I'll do that. I'll click it off. It only takes an extra couple seconds.
I'm so twitchy when it comes to stuff like this. Because you remember when you wanted to do the Patreon, I was very against it at first. I didn't want to do that because I don't like asking money from people for what we do. Mm-hmm. When I did Blogzilla, and especially when it got really hot, everybody was telling me, you need to put ads on the site. You need to monetize this. So I started to do it, and then I declined. I said, no, I can't do it. I can't do it. I don't do this for money. I do this for the love of it.
Right. And it's one of those things like...
There's nothing wrong with getting paid for what you love.
No, absolutely. There's not anything wrong with it. I don't feel like I'm good enough to say, hey, give me money for this. You know? It's like, if you enjoy listening to me, thank you. I appreciate it. That's why I do it. But I don't want money from you because I don't think I'm good enough. Jesse thinks we're good enough, and God bless him.
See, the big thing with Patreon, though, it's not like we're asking people for money.
They can do it if they want to.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. We're not charging for our content.
I still want to put ads on my site. You know, like, because I hate going to a website and then having it. Remember, do you ever go to PW Insider?
I go to PW Insider and 411 Mania. That's almost as bad.
You have to have ad blocker on PW Insider. Otherwise, literally, on the sides, there are just rows of videos that start playing immediately. It's ridiculous.
Which, bogs down anything you're trying to read. Yeah. Like, starts playing sound automatically. Also, like, a lot of those ads can be unsafe.
Yes. Like, backdoor viruses and adware. Yep.
Like, the DeviantArt scandal for a while.
Oh, yeah.
They had a super bad Trojan in one of the ads, and DeviantArt didn't want to do anything about it.
Don't you hate when you have pages open, and you're, like, scrolling through stuff, and you just start hearing people talking or music, and you're like, where the hell is that coming from? And you have to search every page to find that one video that's playing automatically.
What I really like, that's why I like Chrome a lot. They introduced this feature in Chrome now where it'll tell you what tab is playing. Like, it'll have, like, a little, like, speaker
thing.
Oh,
yeah,
like,
yeah. Very handy.
Very handy. But, yeah, it's...
There are some Tumblr blogs that have autoplay, and I'm just like, stop. Please stop.
That is just taking annoyance to a high level.
Yeah, and it's really unfortunate that going back to the YouTube thing, that content creators like the Todd there has to rely on Patreon because for the longest time, like a few years ago, if you were a popular YouTuber, you got a fairly substantial paycheck every week or every month from ad revenue, like people watching and listening to your site because YouTube was a very cool, like, profit sharing thing like that, where, you know, they make money from the ads. They throw you a bone because you're the one that brought those viewers.
Right.
Yeah. So these other motherfuckers, we'll call them that, are just literally stealing money.
Oh, I haven't cussed.
Never mind. Just go ahead. Yeah, they're motherfuckers. That's what we're calling them. That's their names. That's their legal
He's
names.
Staring at you, Dalton.
Dalton's here.
I feel like Dalton's just upset because Shannon gave him shit. And it's not giving me shit.
That's because I'm the one that always like says the insulting things. And, you know, we're past 200 episodes now. I got to class it up from now on.
Fair enough.
Is that the bar?
I'm going to set the bar higher. Lead by example.
Okay.
I think it's ridiculous, too, that these companies, and they mentioned this in Doug Walker's video, the company that are filing these claims against people, they don't work with these people. Work with the YouTubers who are bringing in millions of viewers. There are, like you said, there are things that no one knew about to begin with that these people are now bringing attention to, like The Room with Tommy Wiseau. Nobody knew about that until it was all over the internet. Now it's a cult classic. He has more notoriety because of people like The Nostalgia Critic or CinemaSins. Because they took this obscure movie that was awful, pointed out how awful it was, and now he's still awful, but he's famous awful, which is what he wanted to begin with.
Because there are a lot of people that really enjoy that, like, campy B-movie shit.
Where like when we watch Birdemic.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, we probably would not have known about Birdemic if not for the internet and YouTube and stuff like that. So why don't these companies work with these reviewers to provide them with content for them to talk about? I know they're afraid they're going to say something bad about it, but my argument with that is if you don't want to get something out there that's going to be reviewed poorly, don't make a poor product.
Now, well, there's another thing where I know there's a couple, like Crunchyroll. Have you ever seen the Game Grumps Crunchyroll ads?
I have not.
They're hilarious. But I think, and there was an episode Aaron specifically says that every time Crunchyroll, it's the, you know, the anime site where they have uploaded anime videos from Japan.
The Hulu of anime.
Yeah, the Hulu of anime.
Right.
Every time Crunchyroll comes to them and says, hey, we want you guys to do a commercial for us, they're like, okay, but we get to write the commercial. Like, they put that in there, and then they turn out great every single time because they get to do their own thing with it.
Mm.
I don't know if it's actually helped Crunchyroll or not. I'm imagining so because they've done like 4 of them. But
Crunchyroll also on Up Up Down Down now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, I guess, not all bad. There are some companies that'll work with them, but that's not what we're talking about.
I mean, that's
so.
I feel like Crunchyroll, though, is on the same side of the, because they're internet.
Yeah.
Like, same thing with Netflix, Hulu, all those other, well, except Hulu is owned by Comcast.
But. Yeah. I feel like Hollywood and all these organizations and companies are doing this. They're like the old grandpa that doesn't understand what the internet is.
Well, no.
They're just like, get my stuff off there.
Well, that's what they were like at first, but they have seen very positive, like, you know, record-breaking movies. Like, so many movies have broken so many box office records in the last 10 years. Like,
somehow, even though the internet exists.
Right.
It's weird.
Because when the internet first started becoming a thing, YouTube, posting videos, all this other stuff, Hollywood was in a panic. They were like, oh, no, this is going to ruin us. And it hasn't.
No.
Not even close. It's done very much the opposite. But now these are people are understanding, like, they understand so well how this works. They know how to profit off of these videos with these creators.
It's like the suburban mom who figured out what memes are. And so now their Facebook is nothing but memes.
Terrible, memes.
Bad, almost misused memes that are ironically funny but not actually funny.
And then they started hiring internet people.
They started hiring their friends to go online to make sure their meme wasn't being posted somewhere.
I'm the only one who can have a picture of my cat on the internet.
It's my cat.
I want the picture off the internet. So, all right, guys. I think that's going to do it, though, for the show. I look up these videos. Look up this
YouTube
stuff.
Look up Doug Walker's video, especially.
Yeah,
he explains
his,
it.
He's got
yeah.
it.
Yeah, try and, you know, get involved on this because, like, this is going to ruin our favorite place.
This affects everyone. Like
yeah.
I said, if you provide content or if you just like to watch it, this will affect you because if they pull the content, you can't watch it.
Yep.
Simple as that.
Simple. Super simple. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Dalton, Shannon, and Stephanie for joining me this fine morning.
No one can see the surfer gesture.
That's a great.
I do it every.
Okay,
do you notice that I do it every time?
I do not know, but nobody.
Yeah,
can see
that's
it
a great visual
show.
Goodbye for an audio podcast.
Yep. All right, Shannon, take us out.
Dalton, bone that Jesse.
No, we're done. That's retired. I retired it.
Oh.